and tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen. Hope you're reading your Bibles every day and praying to the Lord every day. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles, please, this morning to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, please. This morning's message is on giving Jesus Christ the preeminence, His rightful place. Matthew chapter 12. And go on down to verses 41 and 42. And when you found that, would you please stand with me for a moment as I read the opening couple verses from Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 and 42. Appreciate you standing and honoring God's word this morning. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that builds the church. Thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that cometh from above. We thank you for our Bibles that we can read each day to encourage us in the things of God and to help us to live a victorious Christian life. Bless this morning, Lord, and help me to say the things that are needful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is very active and He's very busy in His ministry. In verse number 1, we see these words, "And at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat them. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." And so He's walking through the cornfield on the Sabbath day. His disciples and Him stop, and they pluck some ears of corn and begin to eat them. And the religious leaders thought that this was breaking the Sabbath day. They were not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath day except worship. They couldn't work. They even had a whole bunch of rules of things they could not do on the Sabbath day. Man-made rules. And as they see this taking place, they immediately question Him. And His words were contrary to their religious tradition. His words were contrary to their religious tradition. Just like His words today may be contrary to your religious tradition or your religious practice. You know, I believe many Christians are still tied up to their false religious upbringing. Even though they're born again, some things are just hard for them to change. But you know, the more we expose ourselves to the Word of God, are you listening to me? Don't let me lose you here. The Bible is more important than what we think. The Bible is more important than the things that we might have held on to our whole lives. And as we get to know the Bible, we get to know the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I encourage our people to read their Bible through every year. It's a goal that we should strive for. 3.5 chapters a day you can read your Bible through in an entire year. Maybe you say, Pastor, I tried that last year, only got halfway done. Praise the Lord. You got halfway done. It's better than no way done. Amen?
Amen.
And so we find next he enters their synagogue and a man enters with a withered hand. Now notice in verse number 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, and that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Amen. Notice verse number 13. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Interesting. He broke another one of their rules. He healed somebody on the Sabbath day. He broke their rules of the religious Jewish leaders. And notice, I'd like you to go down to verse 22. We said it was a busy day, and it was. Notice verse 22, he heals someone that's possessed with a devil. We could use some of that in our culture today, let me tell you, amen. Then he brought unto him one possessed with a devil, and blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. It's interesting that he does these wonderful miracles, but the religious leaders still find fault with him because he puts them on the spot of their hypocrisy, doesn't he? Amen? No one ever spoke like him before. No one ever did the things like he did before. And no one has ever been more misunderstood than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. I'm glad he knows our thoughts. He knows every thought that enters into our mind and in our heart. That means he knows the things that we care about. He knows the things that bother us. He knows our worries. He knows the things that may keep us up at night. He knows the things that give us great concern. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom shall it stand? And so Jesus is really misunderstood in his very short ministry. You would think that those involved in the worship of Christ, of God in those days, would welcome his coming. But we know that our Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Amen?
Amen.
And because they rejected him, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. That's you and me. If we're not Jewish, we're Gentile.
Amen.
Isn't God merciful?
Amen.
He allowed us to hear the good news that Christ died for the sins of the world. And he takes this opportunity, Jesus, to teach and to preach to a crowd of mixed people, of all different kinds of people, including the Jews who hated him, in spite of his miracles that were performed right before their eyes. You know, those miracles were proof that he came from God. Amen? No one else did the things that he did. Every day with Jesus was a day of miracles. The Bible says he spent his life as one that went about doing good. Amen. Everywhere he went, he spread his goodness. He spread his cheer. He helped those, whatever their need was.
Amen.
If they needed to see and they were blind, they were healed. If they were dead, he raised them up.
Amen.
I mean, he was just a signpost saying that I came from heaven, I came from God. And he had every right to say, listen to me and look to me. And yet those that rejected him had a fivefold problem I'd like to share with you this morning. Problem number one to those that rejected him, they placed more value upon their background. They were proud of their heritage more than the fact that they were talking and looking at the Son of the living God. Their race. They were proud of the fact that Abraham was their father. They worshiped the prophets that were dead. They said, our history is so rich, we're okay. You don't understand. I'm a part of the great Jewish race. Abraham is our father. Do you know anyone that's trusting in their religious background more than Jesus? I can think of some folks, can't you?
Amen.
Why should I get born again? I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. Well, the Bible says we must be born again. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. My great-grandfather was a missionary. Yeah, but that does not help you. Amen. My aunt is a nun. I've got an uncle that was a priest. I'm in good company. They were proud that they looked and said, hey, we got a rich heritage. Abraham was our father. He started this whole thing. Who are you to come here and to change our rules? I'm okay. Look at Jesus' remark. Look at verse 38, please. 38 through 41. And certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. It's not enough that he's healing people. It's not enough that he's helping everyone that comes to him. Verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Amen.
He was speaking about himself. He was saying, I am greater than Jonas.
Amen.
He was saying, I'm the one that sent Jonas. I'm the one that called Abraham. I am the one that did all of these things. Greater than Jonas is here before you. Can you imagine how that went over in the synagogue that morning? I can see the leaders looking for rocks already. Where's the biggest rock that I can find? How dare he come into this holy place and say those terrible things? Well, later on in his ministry, he confronted them again. Now look at John chapter 8. Notice what he says to them later. And they were the ones that gave him the trouble. They were the ones that they wanted him put to death. John chapter 8. And go down to verse 47. You find it? Actually, we can start at verse 38 through 41. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Notice verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Amen.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. What a great verse. Amen?
Amen.
Now said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. Boy, they're looking for them rocks, aren't they? But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. His time to die had not yet come. Yes, Jesus Christ called them for their hypocrisy of the religious leaders, and they hated him. You know, God is ingrained in the culture of America. Our founding forefathers built this country with a faith in God.
Amen.
You see God everywhere in our culture, from our past. It's on our money, it's on our coins, it's on our buildings. And Jesus was telling them that he came from God and he came from heaven. You know, our church should let Jesus have preeminence in everything, because he is the head of the church. Without the head, there is no church. And so our church should be all about him. He should have the preeminence. His word should be the rock on which we stand. The Bible should mean everything to us in our personal life. Not just something we pick up to go to church and hold that book in our hands as we come to church. Or we leave the house and say, oh, there's a Bible in the pew. I don't need to bring mine. The Bible should be everything to us. Amen?
Amen?
And coming to church is important for many reasons. I mean, even to come 3 times a week is not enough in our life. We need the Bible every day.
Amen.
Do you know the early church met every single day?
Amen.
Now, we can't do that in our culture. It's hard to find time even sometimes to do the laundry, the way our culture is set up. But every time we do meet is important. And coming to church puts us back on the right path. It gives us a tune-up. But it's not enough to last us throughout the week to have a victorious Christian life. We need our time with God each day. We need to read the Bible each day.
Amen.
We need to pray each day. We need to find that time. It has to be a priority. Or we're going to come into church on Sunday like we're in the intensive care unit. You just barely made it. But that's not the victorious Christian life that God wants us to have. We need to read his word and meditate on it each day and talk to the Lord each day. And it's important. Most of us here in New Jersey were not raised in a Baptist church. Most of us here in New Jersey were not raised in a Baptist home or a Christian home. And our ideas about church can still be wrong, even though we're saved. Let me give you an illustration. Now, I gave this illustration Wednesday. This is a pen, right? It's got a lot of parts. Look. Now, let's say that this pen represents Community Baptist Church. Got a lot of members. A lot of parts. There's one. Oh, there's another. Oh, got a spring. Got to have a spring. Here's the pointed part. Here's the bottom part. It's got parts in there. But every part's important, isn't it? Every part has a function. This pen is worthless apart, in a sense. But you know what? When we come together, Sunday morning we come together. Whoops. On Monday, all the parts go to their own homes. But, oh, there we go. There's another part. Oh, here comes the family. They're a little late, but they made it. Amen? Church is the people. Now, tonight is Sunday night. If you're a member of the church, you should be here. You should be here Wednesday night.
Amen.
Say, but I was raised, yeah, I know, Christmas and Easter. I get it. But it's important because Jesus is with us when we meet. Now, if I were to say tonight, how many of you, and now don't raise your hand, how many of you will be here Wednesday night for a prayer meeting? You know the first person to raise their hand is going to be Jesus. He said, if two of you or three of you will come, I'll be there. You can count on me to be there. He's the head of our church, and it's important whenever we meet. Some churches meet once a week, some twice a week, some three times a week. But whenever it is that we meet, we should make it our point, a point that we want to give Christ the preeminence in our life. Whenever we meet, if we don't show up, we hinder the body. And as I said, the early church met every day. And that's something we just cannot do today in our day. But whenever it is that we meet, we should try our best to be here. The Lord Jesus is the head of our church. He's going to be here when we meet. We need to put aside our personal habits that we think that we're comfortable with. And we need to base them more on biblical standards. The choice we make shows our personal commitment to Christ or not. Wednesday night, we show our personal commitment to Christ or the cursed TV. I don't expect a lot of amens. But are we a thermometer or are we a thermostat? What's the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? A thermometer goes up and down, depending on its surroundings. You know, our world is getting darker spiritually. Are we going to be a thermometer Christian? Go along with whatever comes our way. Are we going to set the thermostat? It's like, this is where we are. This is where we should be. Well, Jesus said, not only am I greater than Abraham, but I'm greater than your whole religion. He said, I'm the founder of it. To them, the temple was everything. To them, the temple was the center and expression of their faith. And he was saying, I'm greater than that building. I'm greater than that temple. You know, Jesus is greater than every building in the world. Amen?
Amen?
Secular or religious. He's greater than any religious town or city. He's greater than Rome.
Amen.
He's greater than Salt Lake City.
Amen.
You name the city, he's greater than it. The truth is, everything in that temple back then was built to point to him. From the furniture of the temple, to the sacrifices of the temple, to the celebrations and the feasts. If they knew their Bible, they would have welcomed him. Isn't that right? You know this building here, Community Baptist Church, you know what makes it special? When you're here. Without you, this is just the building. Amen?
Amen.
And when we show up, the Lord shows up. This place becomes special because God's people come here. This building becomes special each time we meet because you're here and because the Lord is here. And that was a hard pill for those people to swallow. And we know that the Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He also said he was greater than Solomon in verse 42 of Matthew chapter 12. And yet we know from the Bible that God gave Solomon all of his wisdom. Everything Solomon had came from the Lord. Solomon was their greatest king from a royal line. They loved the traditions of men more than the creator of life. And that's why they hated him, and that's why they wanted to get rid of him, especially on this day. But his time had not yet come. Our Savior came to earth on time. He died on time. He rose from the dead on time. And he's going to come back on time. Amen?
Amen.
One of these days. He's greater than the Old Testament prophets that they boasted in. And if the truth be told, all those prophets would be on the Lord's side because they spoke about him. He was telling them, I'm greater than Moses. I'm greater than Elijah. I'm greater than Jonah because I sent them to you. And our Lord gave a message of love and forgiveness and mercy. And that was greater than the message of Jonah. Look at Jonah chapter 3 for a moment in verse number 4. It's in right after the great, the major prophets, then you have the minor prophets, and you have Jonah back there. It's a little hard to find next to Micah. But if you can't find it, just listen, Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his message. 8 words of judgment. Aren't you glad the Lord's message is full of love and compassion and mercy?
Amen.
Even Jesus' message is greater than Jonah's message. It was a message of doom and judgment. But God is so merciful, he saw that they were sorry. He saw that they repented. And he put off his judgment to them and he forgave them. I think lastly this morning, their problem was probably a problem that some of us struggle with. Their problem was that their testimonies were way too old. They were boasting in old things. And that can be our problem too if we're not careful. Look at John chapter 4, please, in verse 12. John chapter 4 and verses 12 through 14. This is a famous story of Jesus speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And he must needs go to Samaria. He wanted to talk to this woman about the need of her soul. And notice verse 12. She says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And he speaks to her about spiritual things, and she leaves there being a believer that he is the Messiah. Up until that day, they boasted in the fact that that was Jacob's well, and it was a holy place. But after talking to the Messiah, her life was transformed completely. Amen? If there's something that we can learn from this last point, and it is this, we cannot live on yesterday's blessings. Amen? When was the last time we had a really great blessing? We can't live on yesterday's blessings. May the Lord help us to have up-to-date testimonies and blessings from the Lord. And it only comes according to our relationship to Him and His Word. Where does the Word of God hold in our life? We need to make it a priority in order to be happy in the Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we know that Your church one day will be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But what are we doing to make it a glorious church now? It should be our personal mission to make our own church better. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you this morning, is that your mission as a Christian, to make your church better? If not, you can start today to try to make it better than it is. Jesus is the head of our church. The church is nothing without the head. And He created our church. Whatever it is or does, He's the one that's the doer of it. Father in heaven, may Your will be done in our lives this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. Lord, as the world gets darker spiritually, help us not to dim our lights. Help us to let our light shine. Help us to choose You over other things and to show our commitment to You each day and also when we meet. May it be our priority. And we will thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our hymn books this morning, please. Let's all stand as we sing 550. First and the last verses this morning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus.